And you're listening to The Point, and it is getting close to the holiday season. Soon we'll be inundated with ads and ideas for holiday gift giving. In recent years, there's been a growing trend toward giving alternative gifts, typically donations to local or international organizations made in honor of a recipient. Several alternative gift markets have sprouted up on the Cape and South Coast, giving people the opportunity to browse through choices and learn more about these organizations. And in a few minutes, we'll talk with the chairs of alternative gift markets in Barnstable and Fairhaven. And if you know of one that we're not touching on this morning, we hope you'll call and let us know about that. But in studio with us, Jane Jackson and Christine Michelson, co-chairs of the Upper Cape Alternative Gift Market. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so for folks having a hard time visualizing this concept of an alternative gift market, walk us through. What is an alternative gift?
Well, an alternative gift is a different way to think about a gift that isn't an item that's wrapped up and given to someone. I guess you could think of it as a gift that benefits someone you don't know in honor of someone you do know.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. I like that. All right, so walk us through what happens in these alternative gift markets. Let's talk about yours.
Well, you come to the market, and our market is held at St. Barnabas, and it's a place where you can buy these kinds of gifts, which are actually donations to local and international charities. You can give them in honor of friends and family. Some people just buy the gifts and they think of it as a gift to the world, and they don't necessarily give it to someone else. The gifts are meaningful because they support the work that organizations are doing to meet all kinds of problems around the world, combat hunger, homelessness, poverty, promote education, good health, animal welfare, all kinds of things, a wide range.
So it changes every year what organizations you're representing.
Yes, it does. So coming back to when you walk into the market, it can be a little overwhelming at first because there are 20 different tables, and each table has all kinds of information and things to look at and people to talk to learn about the work that the organization does. And you have a shopping list with a list of these gifts. So one gift that's always there is food for the local food pantries. $10 buys, what is it? 200 pounds of, I've forgotten how many pounds of food.
I have to look. It's 250 pounds of food.
Yeah. Right. Up to, you know, a gift as high as $110, which might actually install a well in a community in South Sudan. So so people walk around the market. It's kind of a festive air. It's it's a lot of energy.
I've got the list in front of me, and you've got a lot. I mean, it really a wide variety here. As you've got local, as you said, international. And so if you happen to want to make a donation for somebody on your list who has everything, let's say, and say they're a cat lover, you've got people for cats. You've got friends and family with dogs if you're a dog lover. So you've got to really, and as you mentioned, the well, you can, you know, support some of these other larger organizations in other countries. And so it's how do you determine which organizations are going to
be? Well, we have six congregations that put this market on. And so we have a steering committee of 12 people. So we have a lot of ideas that we bring to the table and a lot of special interests. Picking can sometimes be a little difficult because we might have some disagreements or some favorites that we're pushing for. But we start in the summer thinking about local organizations.
Yeah. And so you try to make this, what, 50-50?
We're working on 50-50. Initially, we had fewer local, but the economy turned down, and there's a lot of people come to the market and want to do just local. Other people are really, really interested in the international project. Mm-hmm. So we pretty much have stuck to 50-50 since then, and that works pretty well.
Right. And we would love to hear it from folks who've gone to these alternative markets. If you know, what did you buy and why? 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right. So how do you vet these people, these organizations?
Well, part of that is in the process of finding out about them. I mean, we have the globe is a little more complicated because they're further away. But for example, a couple of our projects, and this has been true every year, are organizations that were started by people. One this year is started by someone in Falmouth. She goes to Tanzania every year. So it's someone that someone already knows in their congregation.
She can check up on it, yeah.
Right, and we know about her work. And there's another one, Sally Hunsdorfer, who's in Marion, and she was at the market a couple of years ago. She goes to Nepal. She has done a great deal of work with education and with the Sherpa people and preserving their culture. So those, just because of the close connections, we are able to vet them.
Right.
And
others are well known and easily we can find out information. We can read their annual reports on the internet. Mm-hmm. Things like Heifer International.
Yeah. And they've been around for Heifer's been around for a long time.
Since the 40s.
Yeah. I want to. You told me something before we went on the air that I thought was really interesting that I think we should share. Heifer, they've been known for animals, and I know they're expanding beyond that. But I love this idea that it's kind of a loan. Explain that.
Well, heifer started with heifers. That's how they got their name, and then expanded into goats and so forth. But they use this model when they provide, and they work at a community level. So they will go into a community and the community will decide which 10 people will get the first 10 goats. And each one of those people is under obligation to pass on an offspring. They get female goats, mm-hmm. and they pass on an offspring to another poor farmer in that same community.
I love
that. Yeah, so that's the model. So it's considered a loan until that gift has been passed on.
And then the future offspring of theirs.
They can decide what they want to do with that.
That's so great. All right. So you mentioned you work with a consortium of Falmouth congregations to put this together. What are those organizations?
Well, the first year we did it at our congregation, and the next year St. Barnabas and the Falmouth Jewish congregation joined us. And then after maybe a couple more years, the First Congregational Church joined, the Church of the Messiah in Woods Hole, and last year John Wesley United Methodist joined us. So each time someone joins us, we have another congregation that that becomes educated, and we have new members on the steering committee.
I was gonna say, more members.
The decisions get harder and harder.
Yeah, and more volunteers.
Yeah,
because you can't run a market like this without a lot of volunteers, and so we have a large supply of volunteers, people who want to come back year after year. Oh, sign me up! I want to work this table or that table.
Right.
So there's a lot of enthusiasm.
Right, and your alternative gift market is November 16th and 17th, as we said, at St. Barnabas Church. So the Upper Cape Alternative Gift Market isn't the only one in our region. And now joining us on the phone is Paige Roth, the chair of the Alternative Gift Market in Fairhaven. Good morning, Paige.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So the Fairhaven Unitarian Universalist Church is doing this market a little differently than the Upper Cape. Describe what your market is like.
We've done more of an open marketplace, but the last year we did more of a catalog sale where we have a opening celebration. This year it'll be on the 24th from 11 to 1. And then we also have the shopping list like the Falmouth Church does, and then people can select things from that. And so we'll have people can download that list off the internet as well as come into the church and get all the, get the list and get the cards and inserts that go with it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be having a kickoff on the 24th from 11 to 2, and then also in conjunction with our regular holiday marketplace, we will have the shopping list available at a table with the Equal Exchange, right, and some other fair trade products that we have available for that.
So what are some of the organizations that are represented, and how did you choose who to include?
We started with some that we were familiar with in our area and thought about different areas that we thought people might be interested in giving gifts to, like the ability to send a partial scholarship for a kid to the Y for camp. So that would target youth. And then we also had initially one of the Visiting Nurses Associations, so that was more like seniors and environmentalists. We had the Buzzards Bay Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And we had we've always had the two things, one of which has been the local food bank that we are part of, Shepherd's Pantry, and we've also had the Women's Center, which is a domestic violence and women's support center here in New Bedford. And that one was the Women's Alliance of our church has been the group that's sponsored the market, so that we had that women's group. So that was how we selected them. We've changed a little bit. We've had Habitat for Humanity. That one has done well.
Nice.
People can identify with a box of nails.
Yeah.
Some are easier. Some groups we found were easier and people were more interested in because it may be more tangible.
Right, yeah.
Like the food and the box of nails kind of idea.
Right. That's something good, I guess, going forward when you're working with different organizations is to try to find some kind of tangible thing that people can identify with.
Right, and that they can, you know, see, and it's easier to explain.
Right.
Just like Heifer is. I mean, I think, and Heifer's always been a part of our market.
Yeah.
And then as far as the international groups, we've used there's a group out of Kansas called Alternative Gifts International that vets, they have about 30 groups on their list.
Mm-hmm.
And we pick a subset of like 10 or 12 to put out to our congregation and anyone coming to visit.
Right. And Christine, you mentioned them before. And are they the ones that send people out to audit?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Their vetting process is both at the front end and the back end. They mm-hmm. they go out and make sure that the money has been spent the way it was supposed to be spent.
That's good to know. All right. So, Paige, if you're not a member of the Universal Congregation, how can you participate in the market?
Well, you can come at either of those times, like part of our regular holiday market on the 14th of December.
Mm-hmm.
From 10 to 4. You can stop by then or on the 24th of November, or you can download it off the web or mm-hmm. contact our church office. And
okay, great.
We will direct you or mail you out the shopping list and information.
All right. Paige Roth, the chair of the Alternative Gift Market in Fairhaven. Paige, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And you're listening to The Point. We're talking about alternative gift markets. Have you given alternative gifts? What did you buy and why? Give us a call, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Or if you have a question for our guests, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is thepoint@capeendislands.org. Another alternative gift market is happening in Barnstable. And joining us on the phone is the chair of that market, Sheila Place. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning, Mindy.
How long has the Barnstable Unitarian Church been hosting an alternative gift market?
Well, this is our second annual. We started last year with a one-day market, and this year we're doing 2 days.
And you're doing something a little different. You're offering local charities. Tell us how you decided to include just local and why not any international organizations?
To answer your second question first, some of our problem is we're limited by space.
Mm-hmm.
We have a relatively small function hall, so it seemed to make sense to limit it to local charities and nonprofits. And we choose them based on several criteria. We want organizations that are performing some good on the Cape and fulfilling some need, and we all know there's plenty of need
mm-hmm.
In the areas of women in transition, domestic violence. But we also support organizations that are helping wildlife, land conservation. And in many cases, these organizations were already known to us because of some connection people in the church have
mm-hmm.
or people who have been on boards and that kind of thing. But we've also started to solicit other organizations that we think meet our criteria.
Yeah. Jane, you're nodding your head. I guess everybody has that. There's always some kind of local, somebody on that steering committee
uh-huh.
who says, oh, I've got an idea.
Yes.
All right. So did you do just local organizations last year?
We did.
Yeah.
And I think because it was the first ever that there was an attempt to keep it, you know, relatively contained and local and just see how we did in the first year.
Yeah. And I'm going to throw this question out to any of you. You know, you're asking people to come and donate money to a lot. You know, how do you get a lot of people into a room saying, yes, come and donate money? I mean, it seems like it might be tough to fill a room. No?
Yeah,
well,
wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
But it isn't.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
It's a great experience, and lots of people look forward to it every year. A couple of years ago, a reporter came and did a great story after the market, and the headline was Good Vibration.
It
was
I love it, yeah.
Feel good. It's kind of festive. We have the global marketplace, which adds to it, and people just like the people who respond to the ads and come,
yeah.
they like it.
Well, I would say it's also, I think it's, and I've been to yours in Falmouth, but I have not been to the one in Barnstable. But it's interesting because, you know, it's, you know, it is a good feel good kind of a thing. You go in there and you're able to, one, get that person on your list who has everything, and just the variety and seeing what's different every year is what's added to the list, because some of these organizations we've never even heard of and are doing really good work.
That's right.
Yeah.
The educational part of it really interests me.
Yeah.
You learn a lot.
Go ahead, Sheila.
If I could comment, I also think people are sort of getting to the point where they're overwhelmed by commercialism.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we have a family tradition where for a number of years we've donated to each other's favorite nonprofits or charities in lieu of a gift.
I love that
idea. So for me, this was kind of a logical extension of that. And when I visited the Falmouth Market, I was impressed and moved and the energy and enthusiasm in the room, I thought, we can do this too. So yeah. I think it's an idea that's growing. I mean, we're starting to get requests, unfortunately a little late this year, from a couple of organizations that heard about us and want to participate. So I think the notion is growing.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that before on the air, and Christine, a lot of people are turning to you for advice on how to get this started, right? Because you were one of the first ones in this area, anyway, to do this.
Yeah, I've worked with a number of different congregations. I've been to meetings, for instance, at a church in Sandwich that is interested in getting one off the ground, and also worked in Virginia before I moved up to the Cape, working on two or three different organizations that were wanting to get more involved in gift markets.
Right. And Jane, you've been involved as well, and you've said it's growing.
I've been involved, but I did have to say that this is Chris's 12th alternative gift market, and the one in Virginia, she actually created it. And so then when we were
doing it for a while.
Right. When we met, we hit on this topic right away, and I had seen it done with a catalog, and Chris had done it with a market. And I asked exactly the same question you just asked. How do you get people to come? But we went with her model, and it's just grown and been very successful.
Yeah. Sheila, what about, we think this would be a great experience for bringing your children along as you're doing this shopping. Do you find a lot of folks do that?
Well, that's an interesting question. Unfortunately, I was not able to participate last year. The team was run by Diane Sum and Sebastian Bigor, who did a fabulous job, and I was unable to participate because of some surgery. But I believe there were some young people there, and one of the reasons we're extending it this year to Sunday is that we'll include some of our youth because we start right after our church service on Sunday. Great. So, yes, I think this is something that we're trying to encourage more young people to participate in.
Yeah, and your market is the weekend before Thanksgiving, November 23rd.
The 23rd and 24th.
And where is it located and what time?
We're on Route 6A in Barnstable Village. It's the church at the top of Cobbs Hill there on the left as you're going east, right past the traffic lights.
All right. Sheila Place, the chair of the market in Barnstable, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
All right. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you have a comment, question, or if you'd like to tell us about your alternative gift buying. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Now, Jane, you have actually a children's table.
Well, we do have a children's table, and each year we see a few more children. We hope to see more this year. We have a special shopping list, so we take gifts from our big shopping list, and we make a lower price. So $3 would buy food for the shelves of the food pantry. We actually have nails. $5 will buy a 5-pound box of nails. And we have little activities, and I have balloons we can blow up. So the children and the families who do come and participate, they really are very enthusiastic about it. And they're particularly attracted to the heifer table also because of the animals.
Mm. Yeah. And we actually have youth groups from some of our congregations work that heifer table. Mm-hmm. They staff it. This is particularly true of the group at First Congregational in Falmouth, where their youth group has been up to Heifer's Farm up in Rutland, Massachusetts, and done an overnight there and learned about hunger and poverty in the world. And so they bring that experience to the table and talk to people about it.
Yeah.
Heifer is very popular and it's well known, but it's still lots and lots of people buy heifer gifts at our market. And each year we order a book called Beatrice's Goat that tells the story of a child. It's a true story. She graduated from Connecticut College a couple of years ago. Anyway, we buy the books, we sell them every year, and every year more people come. And
It's hard to resist those animals, isn't it?
Yeah. Another way we involve young people, Mindy, is we've had a bake sale. Mm-hmm. We actually encourage people to drink coffee and sit down and think about, after they've seen all the projects, about, okay, what would be a good match for Uncle Joe?
Yeah.
And pick up a cookie and munch on it. Well, it turns out that the youth group likes to get involved in the bake sale. They might do the baking. And when they're all done, they take all of the money they've collected from the bake sale and then they go through the shopping list and they decide how to use that money.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great idea. And you know, that's a really good idea to sit down and think about it, because I imagine for some people it's quite overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just you handed me the list this morning. I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, every single one of these is a worthy cause. So yeah, how do you step back and go, all right, which one is the one I'm going to, or which one's
There's complimentary coffee from Equal Exchange if you're sitting up on the stage working on your list. And I did want to mention that there actually are some tangible alternative gifts at the gift market, and those are fair trade items. And some people really like to buy something, and so we have a few. And there's an organization called the Sharing Foundation, which has been there every single year of our gift market. And I don't know if they were there the first year, but anyway,
yes,
they have
there.
Items from Cambodia, beautiful things, and they come every year, and people buy more and more of it. It's amazing. And
so you can actually buy something that you can wrap up, or
yes,
you
can.
And then the other ones that aren't, what do you get, a little gift card? I mean, how do you tell Uncle Joe what you've got for him?
It's a card. We have a variety of cards. People choose the card they want. And then there's an insert that describes the organization and the work they do and says what the gift is.
Oh, I love that. All right, so we have an email here. It doesn't have the name, but it says, I give gifts in honor of each member of my family. Each on Christmas receives a card with an insert informing them of the gift made in their honor. Each person reads aloud what gift has been made in his name, and there is a chance to discuss the need in so many places in the world, locally and internationally, and to count our own blessings. A great way for kids and adults in the family to become conscious of giving to help others. I love that.
That's
good.
That's wonderful. Great. I'm going to use that idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to go more aggressive.
I like that. And then Sarah writes in, I love this alternative market. And the best part is you get a card for your purchases to give to the person that explains the gift. So it's one-stop shopping. Perfect. 866-999-4626. If you'd like to join our conversation, let us know about what your experience was like buying alternative gifts. What'd you buy and why? 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. So do either of you know where this idea for the alternative gift markets originated?
I think of Heifer as being the model for this type of, you know, buy a gift in honor of someone else. But
right,
you know,
they
about...
had the catalog for a long time. And when I first started being a volunteer for Heifer, I kind of raised the idea about having what they call a living gift market, which is people bring chickens and mm-hmm. goats and walk around and decide what they want. But it didn't resonate with everybody. It mm-hmm. resonated with some people, and it became clear that you needed to do more than just one kind of gift mm-hmm. Because people's interests and values and the need in the world is so great. And so having a lot of choices in the room became a really good idea. And then I actually, this was in the early 2000s, there was Google then. Mm-hmm. I Googled alternative gifts and came right up with Alternative Gifts International, that organization that's in Wichita now. It mm-hmm. was in California at the time. And so Harriet Pritchard, who started that organization, to me, she came up with the idea mm-hmm. and made it easier for any congregation or school or community group who wanted to do alternative gifts. She made it easy for them because she provides the inserts and mm-hmm. they sell you the cards and they provide the catalog and they've done all the vetting. And a lot of their organizations are very small. You wouldn't know about them otherwise. Mm-hmm. And they've been very inspirational. Yeah.
And there have been hundreds of markets across the country as a result of Alternative Gifts International. And when we started, we used a lot of more of their projects. Now we use some of them, and we are maintaining that connection.
Yeah. So this goes back to that when you've got these international organizations, and they do a lot of the vetting for
yes.
you, and then you just have to worry about the local, and
mm-hmm. right.
which we are in our backyard, so it's easier to.
But because there's so many local people with connections to global projects,
yeah.
that's what's happened to squeeze down the alternative gifts, because they're calling us and saying, you know, we'd like to be in the market, and that's
yeah.
happened.
Yeah. Now, since this is what, year seven?
This is the seventh one here in Falmouth.
So I imagine each year you get more and more people calling that steering committee or members of the steering committee saying, hey, how do we get a table in this or no?
No, we haven't had a lot of that. We actually go out and find organizations. And sometimes you open up the Cape Cod Times. And that's how Heroes in Transition mm-hmm. came to be on our list. There was an article last February about service dogs for soldiers returning from combat with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm. So that sounds like.
And there was a contact name, Cindy Jones.
Yes,
and
we know
we
Cindy,
called her
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
and she was all in favor of doing it. So they'll be there.
Yeah.
The suggestions come more from the committee members, but we have had people. I've had people in our congregation ask, and we've had organizations that you know, have come to us. But generally, we have a lot of suggestions on the committee. And like we said, sometimes not complete agreement. It takes a little negotiation to decide this. Yeah. I wanted to add one more thing about the Global Marketplace. We have a new organization coming this year called A Thread of Hope from and she brings things from Guatemala. She travels to Guatemala every year, brings back, and she goes to markets. I found out about her by Googling some other markets locally. Mm-hmm. And because people often are interested in Guatemala, I wanted to mention that she will be here this year.
Oh, and she was there last year or no?
No, she's never been here before. Okay. We usually have sold, Serve is an organization that sells fair trade merchandise from all over the world. And we have had Serve every year. And this year, Serve will not be there, but A Thread of Hope will be there.
So now, how did you get involved? Why did you, you know, get involved in this project?
I've just always been interested in other countries and other people and knowing about the work that's being done. I'm particularly interested in the global part. And I was at a market out in Washington State where it was all done with a catalog. And I just thought it was wonderful. And that's when I thought this would. I had moved here recently. I thought I think we could do this at our church, mm-hmm. and so it's just been a lifelong interest of mine.
Yeah, and same thing with you, Christine.
Yeah, but it's the commercialization of the holidays that had really gotten to me. Mm-hmm. This need that you need to buy a lot of stuff, and that people want a lot of stuff, and you make lists of stuff you want. And there was just something wrong with that for me.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing Sheila brought up. And it's getting earlier and earlier, and you know, yeah, I know it's crazy, but yeah, I love that idea of whoever emailed in about you know sitting around as everybody opens and reads
sharing
their card, and then talking about you know the need and what you have, and giving thanks for that.
I get them presents for my grandchildren every year, and this year we're going at Thanksgiving, and I've never done that, but we're going to do that this year at Thanksgiving.
What a great experience to involve your children, and I love the idea of the children table. I wouldn't be surprised if people copy that from you as well. And we have less than a minute left. Final thoughts.
Just it's exciting to me that so many people want to come to the market for different reasons. And for all the reasons we've talked about, I remember a couple of years ago, a member from our congregation would come. She was there and she said, you know, I didn't come after the first few years because I didn't really want to buy gifts for other people. And then I realized that I could just come and buy the gifts. I didn't have to give them. And she said, I actually make it part of my giving every year now. And
that's
so
great.
People come for lots of different reasons.
Yeah. Final thoughts, Christine?
And I hope the listeners today will be curious and want to come and be part of this great movement.
Right. And we'll put links to everybody's websites up on our website. And your event again is November 16th from 10 to 3 and 17th from 11 to 3 at St. Barnabas here in Falmouth. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Amy Vins produces The Point with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.